Welcome back to Church Tech 101. This is episode 8, and it's called Mission Control. Let's talk about that. As a church sound system installer, I have seen many tech booths. And yes, I call it the tech booth. I think sound booth has passed its prime. Most churches are not only doing sound anymore. They're also doing streaming, possibly slides, maybe lighting. And so tech booth, I think, covers that better than sound booth. But I still get the occasional, yeah, that's in the sound room. Because it's just been that way for so long. There's parts of me that long for the simple days of just running a mixer and console, and that's the only tech stuff that you're doing. But that's not the reality, and so we have to be ready for that. I thought about what I should talk about for this episode, because I wanted to write down some helpful hints that are kind of born of experience from all the different tech setups I've seen, pluses, minuses, things that are good or bad. And so I just kind of broke it down into a list of do's and don'ts. And for me, the number one thing that you should do is that's put your booth inside your auditorium. I have, for a long time, been in a situation where both of my booths at the church I'm currently serving at are not in the auditorium. They are in separate rooms. And the frustration that that creates by having to have an additional person out there who listens and reports back to me about if it's too loud or too soft. The other thing is that they're both on the second floor. So that also is part of the do, which is put your booth inside the auditorium. And that would, in my opinion, be on the first floor. I would avoid second floor booths. So why is this important? Well, it's really hard to make decisions about audio levels and such when you're not inside the space where your decisions are actually heard. So, I mean, it's kind of like sitting in the trunk of your car. It's like sitting in the bed of your pickup and trying to drive it. I don't know that there's really a good analogy. It's difficult. It's hard for you to make real-time decisions when you're not in a space where the sound is actually heard. And so that is my do put your booth in the auditorium. There was a school of thought in the 50s and 60s and 70s that the booth should be in its own little separate room in the back, sometimes on the second story, sometimes on the first story. And there would oftentimes be a full glass window. So you couldn't even hear what was happening in the room. And that is not a good practice, in my opinion. And it's really hard for that sound person and unfair for them to be able to make good decisions about sound when they can't actually hear what's happening. All right, well, that's enough on do number one. And it's only number one because it was priority. The rest of them will be in any random order here. Make room for your people and your equipment. This is really important, especially if you're building a new sound booth or you're thinking about where it should go. See, I just said sound booth. The thing I would do is I would stage it out. So I'm a big fan of planning this way. So get a couple of folding tables, set up where you think your countertop will be. If you have equipment already, set your equipment where it will go. Kind of temporarily lay it out and find out, is there enough space for all of our computers and screens and mixer and all that sort of thing? And is there enough space for chairs? Can people walk behind the rest of the tech team if they're seated? I ran into a church once where their tech booth was so narrow that in order for the person on the inside to get out, everybody else had to exit and push their chairs in. And then everybody had to enter in order. So if that person wasn't on time, then everybody had to, you know, at least stand up and push their chair in for the person to get by and then get back in their chair again. That's extremely inconvenient is a good word, I think. It's not great. So make sure you have space for people to come and go if they're needed elsewhere or whatever. That is really important. Plan for future cables. Every system will be upgraded at some point. And guess what? VGA really isn't the video display type du jour anymore. Now it's HDMI. So just plan that at some point we're going to have to pull out this cable and put a different type of cable in. We're going to have to add cables or whatever else. And so by planning for that, whether that means you put conduit in from point to point, or it means you have a removable floor section in your booth so you can run cables down the wall, out of the wall, under the booth, and back up to where they need to go. All of that is important to plan for because you don't want to be just like trying to chop a hole in the front of your booth to figure out how do we get in here to run this cable because there was no planning for it. So that is, in my opinion, super important. Here's something. Have enough power outlets, and if you can, run a dedicated power line back to your breaker panel. The reason for this is that there are a lot of noisy items now. Lighting fixtures, some of the new LED lighting fixtures are just so noisy. It's best to isolate all your audio equipment over onto a single circuit, if you can do that, that is dedicated just for that. And that is definitely a plus, I think, for your power to be isolated from other noisy things on your system. As far as the flooring, I really prefer carpet. A short pile commercial carpet, glue down type, like carpet tile or something like that, is a great option. And the reason it's a great option is because it's quiet. And while I'm at it, if you're going to do a new booth floor or whatever, make sure you glue that down and screw it down to make sure that it has the maximum amount of adhesion. It's not going to squeak or make noise. All of those things can be kind of distracting, especially during quiet parts of your service. If somebody drops a pen and your floor is, you know, laminate or wood or something, or somebody rolls around the chair on a laminate floor, that's going to make a lot more rumbly noise. Just a good short pile commercial carpet is really going to be a good option for a booth floor, in my opinion. Buy comfortable chairs. This is something you should do. I have been in so many booths where the chairs were just some leftover junk from, you know, the office that the secretary didn't want to sit in anymore because it was so broken down, but it got dumped over to the sound booth. Nothing says we value your work as a volunteer like a junky old chair. It's not expensive to put nice chairs in. And when I say this, don't do trendy chairs. I was in a booth in Nebraska where they had these really trendy chrome stools with the small leather-covered seats or whatever. Super uncomfortable. Did they look cool? Yeah, they look cool. I wouldn't want to sit on them for an hour every Sunday. Some of your tech volunteers aren't young spring chickens either. So make sure that you put a good, comfortable chair in there. And some of you are saying, not too comfortable, they'll fall asleep. Yes, but you don't want to create problems. I've been in ministries where I had to bring my own chair into the booth because the chairs that were there were so bad. So anyway, just buy good chairs and consider an investment in the sound system rebuild to put some decent chairs in your booth. It's worth it. Cable management is important, so do think about that. Whether that is when you're putting in countertops, that you drill a sufficient number of pass-through holes of a good size, or even cut rectangular holes in the countertop so that cables can pass through for down below. For me, I always do some kind of a cable tray that's below the counter so that cables can run from point to point, but they're not all just hanging down there. The last thing you need is somebody to accidentally kick something critical or snag their foot on it while they're sitting there on a Sunday and unplug things in the middle of the service. And so I always keep all my power management and my audio cable management up good and high so it can't accidentally be kicked. So whether you use an actual piece of gutter. I have done plastic gutter. That's what I have in my own sound booth. Or if you build a little cable tray that is made of plywood or something, all of that is doable to keep cable management nice and neat, and mostly to keep people from accidentally unplugging things. So that's my list of do's. Let's talk about a couple of don'ts. One of them don't build your booth too high. And I have seen this a lot where a really tall booth, so maybe it's like 48 inches off the floor. And I mean, it doesn't need to be super duper high. Really, you just need to be at a point where people in your booth can see over the congregation when they are standing. And I don't mean like the tallest member of your congregation. One person who's 6'5" is not your standard. And the reason for this is that you need especially your sound guy, to be sitting within the speaker coverage area. And so if your company has done its job, they're not covering the back wall with the speakers. But if you make your booth really tall, then all of a sudden the whole back wall is not in the speaker coverage zone. And so now the guy who's running sound doesn't really know how loud it is unless he walks down and sits at a more normal level. So bringing your booth down is helpful. A really tall booth, to me, just doesn't have purpose. It just shows that there wasn't much planning put into it. Don't use hard flooring. We talked about that. I'm not a fan of that, whether that's wood or laminate or whatever. If people drop pencils during the sermon or whatever, like the noise of it can be a problem. So I definitely recommend a low pile commercial carpet. Let's see here. Oh, don't add a lot of built-in drawers. I had a church where their guy was a cabinet maker, and he came in and he did the booth, and I came in the next day, and there were so many cabinets under the countertop part of the booth that there were only two 36-inch slots for chairs to fit into. And so what that meant was, you know, if it had to be one guy running on a Wednesday night or whatever, he has to get up from his seat at the soundboard to walk over to use the live stream stuff. He can't just roll his chair over easily. There's just so many cabinets. And then it also made running cables a nightmare. I had to pull all the drawer stacks out and then drill holes in the sides of the cabinets, then try to fish the wires through from side to side of the cabinet and make sure I avoided where the drawers would be once they went back in. And so I'm not a fan of putting a bunch of cabinets of storage under your booth countertop. If you're going to put drawers, I would put them on the left side and the right side, only on the far ends. Or if you have a little end part of your, you know, if you have an L-shaped countertop and you're not using the L part, you can put storage drawers on that side. But my experience with that is those drawers just tend to fill up with junk unless they have purpose. And so, you know, it just becomes more stuff storage. If you don't have storage in the backstage, like a cabinet back there where you keep mics and wireless things and batteries, then you'll have to look at building storage into your booth. But please don't build them under the countertop area where people are going to be rolling back and forth and where most of your cabling goes. Any other don'ts? We talked about don't put it on the second story and don't put it outside your auditorium. I think those are both more important than people think they are. I think it's important to consider and stage it up. That's really going to help you. And with a tech booth, as long as it's easy to access, it's comfortable, volunteers aren't going to dread being in the booth. They will actually enjoy it. One other don't that I have seen occasionally is that they make the wall really tall and then the counter really short. So from the top of the counter up, you get like, you know, 36 inches or 48 inches of top. And then so you can sort of like hide down in there. It's just way too tall. You don't need more than 12 inches above the edge of your, above your actual countertop, to hide cables and equipment or whatever. Yeah, that's, it's not helpful. I have not, maybe I haven't seen 48 inch ones, but I have definitely seen 36 inch ones where there's just way too many feet of extra height there. And it, to me, it just didn't serve any purpose. And again, it was kind of a lack of planning. Like, what are we actually going to do? And then they built something, and then that wall was way too high, but they'd already drywalled it or whatever, and they didn't want to cut it down. It was just going to be too complicated. So plan, and then test it, and then execute. I think you'll be in a good space with your mission control. Anyway, that's the end of episode number 8. I hope it has been helpful, and that I've talked about a couple of things that maybe you hadn't thought about, but that can make your mission control a better place to work. Anyway, have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode.